I would like to clarify the importance of the naming of the institute as Institute of Sri Ramchandra Consciousness. I've been getting some requests from people asking me to clarify what exactly it is. There is a flow of energy in a forum that is subtler than light and or sound, arising from the supra-cosmic levels of existence. We have had a taste of it just now. Some, according to their belief and convention, call this as the flow from the base, Brahman, absolute, ultimate, or God. It would suffice to say that it is from that, or it, tam. The flow is observed in the supra-cosmic, cosmic planes, and it travels in its purity even in the worlds of space, time, energy, and matter. This flow alone is the cause for holding the universe together, and therefore it has been called life force or prana or pranasya pranaha. Life in this earth is essentially a balance between the force of prana and the force of kal, matter or inertia. To overcome the inertia in expressing the dynamic unity of existence by the kal force, the pranic force always descends and brings about a dynamic equilibrium. The force of prana is superior in nature and capacity to the force of mind, which is not able to meet the challenges of matter. Further, mind itself is one which enjoys intricate puzzles and problems and takes everything as a game. Earth, the planet we occupy, is unfortunately a warring planet. Any period of peace is invariably followed by one of conflict and war. It is the nature of life to have life and death, joy and suffering. Further, as we know, life starts with weeping and ends with weeping. And the joy or happiness is only a phase in between. If this earth has to be made heavenly, it is necessary that our consciousness should reside at the pranic plane, that is, a plane beyond that of matter, mind, and soul. The life force or prana has been expressing itself at different levels of consciousness to help maintain balance. The task of balancing was and is being entrusted to entities who have progressed in life and reached the super fine states of consciousness with full awareness, and such entities or souls are working at different planes of existence. They are the masters who do the task of maintaining the balance in the cosmic and supra-cosmic regions. There have been and are masters in all the four corners of the universe, but all express only the supreme life force or prana. Surrender in totality to the will of the supreme life force is the order to which the masters belong. They have no personal will whatsoever, and their consciousness is controlled and maintained by the pranic force. Such is the order to which Lord Krishna, Lord Rama, Lord Buddha, Jesus the Christ, Prophet Muhammad, Sri Ramchandra of Fatehgarh, and our dear Sri Ramchandra of Shahjahanpur belong. It may be observed that there is a common thread running through all their spiritual life and teachings. Though we may mention these personalities and many more, and show them as the roots, the spiritual order is the most ancient and in fact timeless. Thus we may say that Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur is the Sanatana Purusha. His message and teaching is living. There exists always a living master, not necessarily in the physical plane, to ensure the message of life force to be available for all those who seek it. Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur is the latest among these masters and is a living master in the astral plane. He is also entrusted with the task of overhauling the nature of human consciousness by even utilizing the force of call. Though in the plane of earth, call is negative of life or prana, it should be understood that call itself is the other side of the expression of the original life force. When we use the term Sri Ramchandra consciousness, we mean that the force which is eternal, the nature of that consciousness is pure, unalloyed love that does not distinguish between any entities of the creation. It for the present emanates from the heart of the master and can be best described as golden. The flow emanating from the original source, channeled through his heart, is a continuous flow of happiness that knows no limitations and that is experienced as the waves of the ocean of bliss by those who yield to the master of the day. This we know is what we enjoy or experience as pranahuti. Coming to the message of the day, O bounded ones, now start to look for becoming free. We are trying to free ourselves through the assistance of this pranahuti given by the Supreme Master who is helping us all through. This is extracted from one of our messages of the Master. He gave this on 30th of April in 79 at Ahmedabad. Fairly very clear, candid position that he has got there of telling our problem and also of what solution he can give. I am sure you have all studied this very carefully and you would bear with me if I tell something which you already know. But when we talk about God or masters and we talk about what they have said to us, repetition is something that firms up our conviction in the path, and therefore I think this exercise is something that you would put up with. I am 100% sure that you would like to be in the consciousness of the master rather than try to hear these words. Please bear with me, because this is an institution. We have got to do certain rituals. He says, I eagerly wish that all my sisters and brothers in the world may taste the tasteless taste of margins. Margins of our consciousness, in his consciousness. Temporarily at least, we forget it during our meditations. He has, in many of his writings, stated that this is a fact that comes to us because of this influx of the pranasya pranaha. When we taste this, he says, then you understand the efficacy of the system. I am 10% sure that all of us are aware of the efficacy of the system. But he makes another sentence, interesting. Life is not life, we are living. There is an appeal here. And in the next paragraph he goes to say that we should not dwell in the thought that God does not exist. Please note, this message he was addressing to Abhyasis who were there in Ahmedabad on that day. They were as good and as determined as we are. Perhaps some of us were there. At least I was there. If we did not have the faith in God, perhaps we would not have gone there at all. Masters don't use unnecessarily any sentence, any word. But he says, we should not dwell in the thought that God does not exist. The message, as I understand it, is, please note that there is something more than you. Please note the necessity to bend your head to the divine. And if you read the sentence in the earlier paragraph, there is something beyond and beyond. Once we know that particular sat is there, then you understand your asat, your transitiveness. He is driving at the point of viveka there. The basic viveka we require is that there is a force beyond us, and our interest cannot and should not supersede our interest to know him. That knowledge that he is asking us to have is not something of a philosophical knowledge arising out of the books, but something that you have already tasted in a few moments of margins in the meditation, which the Supreme has granted us. You are given a taste of it, you are asked to develop a taste for that. There is an excellent sentence that comes to us immediately afterwards. All of us are proceeding towards divinity or the goal of life. I do not know whether we have this much of confidence for ourselves to say this, but he says it. Not only here, in several messages he has said it. All of us are moving towards the base. Everyone is moving towards the homeland. What an assertion it is. It is true, but is it true in our consciousness? It's a fact, but is it a fact of our life? Each one of us have to put this question for ourselves and decide, yes, the master says it, I also feel it, I have got a taste of this emergence, and therefore this is more important than anything else. This is my goal. Surely, I have a goal to construct a house. Surely, I have a goal to have a wife. Surely, I have got a goal to have a son. Surely. But these goals are not the real goal of life. The real goal of life is to have that taste of emergence in him. Feel oneness with the life force, the dynamic. be happy under all circumstances. And immediately he says, those who proceed consciously are as if swimming in calm waters. Those who are proceeding unconsciously are beating their hands and feet in the sand of the desert. Our life here, without him, is not swimming. We will be only hurting ourselves when we try to swim on the land. We are hurting ourselves. And we are hurting because we are attempting a swimming in an area or a plane where it is not possible. We are trying to be happy in a plane where we cannot be with all our attachments. People ask the meaning of life. And he says, who are these people who say life is meaningless? It is those people who find their attachments meaningless, who find their aspirations in this mundane life meaningless, their ambitions meaningless because they were not getting fulfilled. It is those people who say it is meaningless. Life is meaningless in some people's minds, and this is suicidal idea. I am sure the harakiri was already done. You have killed yourself before you came to the conclusion that life is meaningless. Life is a precious gift of God for us to be happy here and make others happy here. And such of those souls who find their lives too burdensome, I think are forgetting the fundamental factor that they are divine expressions. And their duty is to be happy. Life has its meaning because there comes a force with it. And that reminds us of something which should be very precious to those who want to keep it with them. Because this force, as we just now read, I read out about Sri Ramchandra consciousness, that the prana, that is the thing, that is the ultimate thing that we have got, every one of us have got. It is the most precious thing that we have got in our heart. The divinity is deep within, as the consciousness of the Supreme. The Sanatana Dharma is there. The Sanatana is there. In spite of that, we call it useless. Life is useless, meaningless, burdensome, too wearisome. Most uncharitable statements to the presence of divinity. Immediately he says, accepting, turning towards the spiritual life is the beginning of life. And the highest state of it is life in life, which lies hidden in life itself. Prabhupada is noted for this type of expression because he cannot see life elsewhere than here. But he sees life according to us far off in some heavens. The divinity is somewhere else far off. So he is forced to come to this type of expression, life in life. So the life in life here is, you must know that the spiritual life is the one for which you have come here. It has to express itself in the mundane world. There is a condition reserved for the human beings. In the prayer of the Mah that we have got for us, we say, O Master, thou art the real goal of human life. That is the condition reserved for us, human life. The beastly life doesn't have. Pardon me if I remind you, Master said, many people think we are born as humans. We are born as animals. And we have to become human, he says. This is in contrast to many other people who would classify all bipeds as human. All bipeds are not human. We have to become human, and there is a goal of human life. And there is a condition reserved for us, reserved for such other human beings. And that you get, transmission gives a new life to the sleeping condition of man and prepares for the highest approach reserved for the human beings. The true meaning of realization is death of death. All our worries are because of this wonderful word called death or mrityu that comes. We are damn scared about it. The whole industry of insurance lives on that. Long, long back, I read a dictionary called the Devil's Dictionary. In that they said, insurance agent. Who is an insurance agent? There may be some here, please excuse me. Insurance agent is one who tries to sell an idea which he does not accept or believe. He knows pretty well that I will not die, but that he will threaten me that I will die and therefore I have to insure. That is, he sells something which he does not believe and is 100% sure that is not the truth. A man who is capable of selling falsehood. Selling truth is what masters do. Selling falsehood is what insurance agents do. Let them do. My point is this death. The fear of death. And death of death is realization. That is, you cannot have a fear of death. Majority of us suffer from that. Because we grant for ourselves a permanence, which we know is not true again. Because we have sold ourselves that falsehood. We accepted it. And then we are fighting it. Those of you who read my Telugu book on Adhyatmika Lakshya Sadhana must have seen this sentence. That is, the fear of death, mrityu bhayam, is the first thing that we should get rid of in spirituality. If you suffer from that, please note, our progress in spirituality is still at the initial stages. Be prepared to invite, like Nachiketas, the god of death. Let us invite him. Let us go to him and then say that we are waiting for you. Come and tell me what it is. Tell me the Brahma Vidya. Because it is that which tells you the Brahma Vidya. It is Yama who teaches the Brahma Vidya, because we are confronted with this problem of life. We know that death is there. Come and tell me what it is. What is it that's going to be next? Those people who try to avoid it anyway will not succeed. Courageous people are those who face it and then ask what it is. And they begin the journey of spirituality. And this is what he says, realization is death of death or end of end. And if a man is absorbed in that condition, if the death of death has happened to you in your mind, it means the way is clear now. That is, you are starting your journey now, not before that. Not before that. The time has changed to such a great extent that so many persons in India do not know what transmission is. We are those fortunate people who know what transmission is, and secondly, we enjoy it also. Are we satisfied with the enjoyment, or are we trying to learn lessons? Is again a question for us. It is my master alone who gave light to the original source, which was nearly dried. this pranahuti, which comes from the source. Just now we had some occasion to talk about that, the origin of the source of the Sri Ramchandra consciousness, which we enjoy as transmission from the master, the pranahuti. Who gave light to this source? It is that great person whom we are remembering today, and we are celebrating his birthday. It is he who gave us some vision of the absolute, some awareness of the absolute. The awareness that our existence is not restricted to this life, but there is something more. I don't have to worry about this death. I have got a life which is eternal. To be in the company of the master all the time, to be with him and expressing his greatness and share happiness with all. And he says, "Oh bounded ones, now start looking for becoming free." Once you know that, what is the freedom that you are asking for? The freedom from the fear of death. This death of death is what we want. That is the real freedom. Everyone likes freedom, but few take care to acquire freedom from freedom. Now he is moving on. Okay, you go beyond your life. You got the freedom from the fear of death, or the death of death has happened. Now that freedom also, he says, should transcend. And that stage is possible by a total submission to the Master Supreme. It is all-absorbing attachment to reality alone. To reality alone. Not along with it every other attachment we have got. All other attachments here will take a lower precedence. Perhaps no precedence at all. It doesn't mean that we are asking in this system people to renounce their house or grihastha duties. When that one attachment to the divine is there, the attachment to all the other people here, as children of God to whom we are attached, that is one of the commandments, then our attachment will be only with him. If we think our attachment to our wife and children is an attachment we have personally, in our own individual capacity, our individuated capacity, it is bound to lead us to misery. It will hold you back. It will tighten its bonds. But if you know that our attachment to each other here is because of our attachment to the divine, each one of us will start sharing. And the obnoxious idea yesterday propagated of Rana will not get into our head. Because everything is his, everything is he. There's nothing that is mine. Once you know that, if you know that everything is his, the question of personal attachments do not arise. We behave as trustees. As Babaji asks us to do, we should behave as trustees. None of this is ours. We either lend or borrow. Everything is there to share. Liberation can make one free from the earthly bondages. That's what he says immediately. When a person wants his evolution, nature helps him. Nature is another word Baba uses often for God in expression. He helps us because it is going to restore itself. You have usurped a part of nature, and therefore it helps you. When you say, no, it is yours, please take it. It helps you. You get liberated from that. Magradha kasya sviddhanam. The kaha there means only God. It is not somebody else. Margaret, don't try to attach of yourself to somebody else's. Somebody else's, that's what is what Vedanta said. To his is what I understand from spirituality. Everything is his. Everything is divine. Everything is nature. We have usurped it. We thought it is ours, and then we thought of Arjuna. We thought we can give somebody something else, or we think we can borrow something from somebody else. Whose property it is? Who owns this? It is a nature. It is God. It is Master. You are only a trustee. You see the glorious message of the Master when he comes forward with a very simple sentence: "You should behave as trustees." You don't go further into it. Go behind it. Then you know how meaningless are our attachments. Doctor gives bitter pills to the patient even when he loves the patient dearly. The lessons of our life we consider as bitter. But he says, that is the only thing that can cure you. You better take it. God wants to see his creation quite befitting, pious and clean. I have only one word of some sort of meaning to the word befitting. I understand it as happy. To see his creation quite happy, pious and clean. So it is the law of nature that he does everything necessary to open the door of evolution. It is the law of nature that we should go through these afflictions so that we understand our attachment is meaningless. Our attachment is irresponsible. Our attachment is almost a burglary. Magrida kasya siddhanam, again, you have no business to attach yourself. Tena tyaktena bhunjita, don't give it back to him and then enjoy, be happy here. In sharing lies a happiness. Sacrifice, a word which does not find a meaning here. When you know that everything is his, what are you to sacrifice? You have to sacrifice your attachment. You have to sacrifice your clinging nature to things which are not yours. Sacrifice is not something that I have got to give, but you have no business to cling to anything, first of all. Give that attitude of, give up that attitude of holding on. Sacrifice that first. Sacrifice an attitude. You can sacrifice later the things. Yes, how to sacrifice? And he immediately says, the bad workman quarrels with his tools. You think you have not been given the capacity, the antakarana, the tool that we have got, to give up. How can I give it up, sir? My mind does not agree. How can I give it up, sir? My manas does not agree. How can I give it up, sir? This is my chitta. How can I give up these urges, sir? This is what I have got. It's a complaint on the tools that he has given. These tools are not ours. The antakarana is what he gave. You have a buddhi, you have a chitta, you have an ahankar, you have got a manas. All these things are to be utilized so that you live happily here, detaching yourself from everything else. God wants us to be happy, pious and clean. When are you unclean? When you attach yourself to something else, you are unclean. What is dirt except something that sticks on to your body, sticks on to your surface? What is dirt? You attach and then you are in dirt. So if you want to be clean, detach. Yesterday somebody asked how to purity of body and mind strictly adhere to. He said, don't attach. Raga and dvesha, you get rid of. What exactly are we talking there? What is raga and dvesha? Positive attachment and negative attachment. And he says, my master, this the great personality of Lalaji Maharaj, whom we are remembering today, in great agony, due to abscess of the liver, said on seeing tears in the eyes of his disciple, that though he could cure his disease in no time, he did not want to meddle with God's ways. And why should this disciple have tears in his eyes? We also have, when we think about the pain of the Grand Master, we also have. But that is due to our attachment to him. Attachment to, not to him, but to his body. When you think about attaching ourselves to the Master, we are thinking of attaching ourselves to the body of the Master, a physical plane to which we want to give extraordinary importance. The life that is here, we have not understood the value of death itself when we are trying to attach ourselves to some physical plane. The lessons of death are not understood. Nachiketas is forgotten. Please understand what exactly is driving that. Why should I say this sentence here? Really, we are living in the world which has been spoiled by us, and it can be called a prison. Yes, we are prisoners of our own bondage and our own attachment. Nobody else has made this a prison. We have made it a prison. We have created the bondages for ourselves. We have chained ourselves on all sides, and then go on crying that something else is holding me. My friend Koteswar also, he is not here now, he is somewhere in Fremont. He was telling me an interesting thing. You hold the thing and then please leave me, you are crying. You are holding it. You are holding to those things and you are crying, leave me, leave me. How can it leave? It is not holding you, you are holding it. And he says, if suffering is there, nectar also is there. Choose the nectar, not the suffering. Now, pangs and troubles created by indisciplined mind can be relieved only by making the mind well disciplined, and this is possible when you adhere to the principles of the system. And principles is a separate message. You will find the second one, I think, fundamental principles of Raja Yoga. That is 68, he says, and that relates to the parallelism. We should like to live a life of being parallel to the divine all the time, knowing that we are vibrating according to the frequency of the divine. The Master's will and our will should vibrate on the same plane. We should be in a position to accept the divine will. That is what Lalaji Maharaj was saying there in the earlier paragraph. Babaji quoted him saying, I know how I can get rid of this problem, but I will not do it because I would like to be in tune with the divine will, the Master's will. Whatever is that Master's will, that Master's will is something that is painful to me. Even then it is Master's will, I shall be in tune with it. Parallelism means that, to be in tune with the divine will. That is the goal of all sadhana. And he says, if somehow the members of the family are spiritualized, this is one appeal I have got for all abhyasis. Yesterday I had some difficulty in answering my brother Krishna Garu. He was saying that why don't we take people who, the women folk, even when their husbands don't become members, why should we not accept? I said there will be a discard and concord will not be there, and our purpose is to bring happiness, not unhappiness, so I don't accept it. But if somehow the people in the family, all of us, can become members of, I don't say the institute, members of a spiritual life dedicated to express the divine here, if all of us can join together, the world will be better. And that's what he says. If somehow the members of a family are spiritualized, the environment of the house is changed. The reason for that is, all of our difficulties here in the mundane life are due to this only. the difficulties with the spouse, the difficulties with children, the difficulties with brothers, the difficulty with people who live as our assistants at home. To call them servants is not proper. They assist us in our daily course. This is the problem of God. If all of us can be spiritual in our approach and work for each other in a love, in a spirit of fraternity, in a spirit of trusteeship, the world is definitely more harmonious, more happy. When we inwardly develop, in and out become the same. In this way, purity begins to reign all over. And he adds an interesting sentence here. Thus, we help nature also. The purity is the very way of expression of nature. And if you maintain purity at home, you will be helping nature also, he says. Don't spoil it. Now again, a sentence where we find encouragement coming from the master. Everywhere I find the people poor in spirituality. All of us should try to make up this deficiency. And he says, in spite of our labor, the flower is still in the bud. It is not that we are lacking in our efforts, but people are not cooperating as they should. They should. People are not cooperating as they may, or as they might, is not the word. As they should. That is, one day or other they have to fall in line. So it is for us to plead with them rather than to succumb to them. It is for us to convince them rather than to get convinced by them about the values of spiritual life. It may appear to be a friction in the beginning, but in the long run you will be in harmony. No child likes to learn. It has to be taught. Elders may be in the same state as a child, so far as their mind is concerned. They have to persuade. If somehow the members of the family become spiritual, you are going to have happiness. That is what the earlier paragraph says. Somehow, resistances are there. Resistance to masters are there. Some people say that there is no existence of God itself, as he said in the beginning. There is no God, there is no master, there is no path, there is no way. Some people say so. You have to convince them. Make them understand. Instead of saying that my wife does not permit me to meditate and then lifts me up and then throws me out of the house, you try to throw her out. Then she understands what it is. Your mother does the same thing with you because she is damn afraid that the runa will not be completed. Agree? But then better runa can be paid by us. Right? Understand the value of spiritual life. Don't confuse it with what may be considered as a cult or a form of religion. Religion and cults are not spirituality. We are not opposed to it. Let me repeat, we are not opposed to it. But we don't succumb to it. We tell them, this is what you are. Have the courage. Have the confidence. That comes to you by the awareness of that emergence, the taste of the divine that you have got. From that you have got to tell. If you don't have that taste, naturally you will not tell. Be grateful to the great master who gives you that taste of emergence every day. The intimations of the divine, as I call it. Divinity we may not have, possess, but intimations of the divine we have. Deep in the core of our heart we feel him. Tell others this is what you have. Tell them that they can have. The idol is not mine only, you can also go. You can also touch. You can also be with it. And he says, no, so our efforts never go in vain. If drops continuously fall, river is the result. Tenacity, persistence, perseverance in telling others to understand the value of this particular experience that we have got, an awareness that we have got, not with a fanatic approach of trying to say that somebody is wrong But try to convince him about your rightness. You will automatically see what is wrong about him. You don't have to say that he is wrong. You say you are right. Go on telling you are right. This is what it is. Tell them this is how I behave. They will definitely come to you. You shout at them saying that you are wrong. He is bound to say that you have no patience. You have no tolerance. You have no titiksha. You have no uprati. He will say all that to you. And he says, we should have a good heart for all human beings. Then the power will run to them automatically. If your genuine concern is there for the transformation of the other person, it will automatically run. That there are other methods for it, as we talk about point A, a separate subject. The good heart. Good heart is, he should become divine, not for my sake, for his own sake. For his own sake. If that is the will you have got for him, it will work. Most of us commit the mistake that he should become one, so that I will be happy with him. The happiness that is expected will automatically come if he becomes good. Don't put the result before. Karmanyeva adhikarasya mapaleshu kadachana. At no point of time you have business to expect a result. Anticipated result when performing an action is bound to fail. It's bound to fail because you have got ulterior motive behind it. Your motive other than his good, your good is more important than his good. You want a company which is peaceful to you at home, therefore you are asking him to be alright. Follow him. If you tell the message to the other person that you be good on your own and you exercise your mind for that, automatically they will come. Because that God always supports good action. The support of the master is there behind every good action. I think this is the first step of spiritual regeneration. The edifice of spirituality is to be erected on this foundation, that is the goodness for other person. Our duty is to educate the minds of the people so that they may take the right step. I have got such a broad heart given by the master that I want to cover all humanity. The helping hand of my master is at back. And so is it with us. And therefore we shall continue. And that is the purpose of the institute. We are struggling. Our efforts will not go waste. Every one of us is struggling. Every one of us is trying to express the greatness of the master in our heart. We want every person to be good. Every person to feel free. Not bonded. And so the message ends. O bounded ones, now start to look for becoming free. Thank you. Next question.